Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Tim Schwartz is my co-host, our main guest here for the first time, hopefully not the last, is Michael Cameron. He wrote a book called High Strangeness, A Lifetime of Alien and Paranormal Encounters. A lot to talk about there, and we'll be getting to that in just a moment. So welcome aboard, Michael. Right.
Thank
now,
you.
I just want to mention something briefly about last week's episode. We featured Preston Dennett, who has written over 30 books about the paranormal. He's very much into contacts, humanoid sightings, things like that. Now, as Tim will confirm, a lot of our listeners have been commenting in our forums not too favorably about Preston, suggesting here that Preston is either making it up, which I doubt, or just too accepting of anything strange must be from E.T. Now, I've known Preston for a number of years. He's been on the PowerCast a number of times. And I do agree some of those stories are a little out there. I do agree that his acceptance of these stories as evidence of E.T. is a little bit out there. But he gets a lot of cases that we're trying to understand, and that's the point. The point is not to say everything is ET or collective unconscious or anything. It is to understand what's going on and then try to make sense of it without preconditions. What do you think about it, Tim?
Well, as you well know, Gene, I mean, I am very... what would the term be? Not favorable, but I research a lot of high strangeness cases. That seems to be the type of cases that I tend to gravitate towards. And you know, a lot of these cases that Preston has covered in this book and in others, you know, can be classified as very high strangeness. And I know that some of these situations tend to rub a lot of people the wrong way, especially those who tend to gravitate more towards the nuts and bolts hypothesis of the UFO phenomena. But, I mean, my own research over the years has shown that there's a lot more going on with the UFO phenomena than just strictly metallic spaceships from other planets, you know, with explorers and engineers and scientists on board. That may be the case, but there are other aspects to the phenomena going on as well. So, you know, I tend to be a little bit more forgiving on the stories that Preston wants to present, because, I mean, I do think he's earnest in his presentation. And like you said, I mean, you know, he may be a little bit more forgiving with these stories because, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, people will, you know, manage to slip a hoax past you. I mean, that's happened to me. That's happened to everyone. But, you know, I don't think that people should just totally throw out his stories or throw out his research just because some of these stories may seem a little too fantastical.
As many of our listeners know, one of my closest friends in the world was the late Jim Moseley, whom I knew for like 55 years or even 60 years. And he was notorious for perpetrating a few hoaxes here and there with his friend Gray Barker. On the other hand, he did some tremendous research back in 1957, a few years after George Adamski came out with his first book. Moseley had a very, very thorough expose of George Adamski, including a very conventional attempt to duplicate his photos, which is a classic, and we have it on the jimmoseley.com website, a link to it. So, you know, what can you say about it? But Jim, of all the years I knew him, never lied to me about anything. He told me the way it was. Our guest, Michael Cameron, has a book out, which, again, the title is High Strangeness, A Lifetime of Alien and Paranormal Encounters. Michael, I don't know if I should be jealous of you or happy it hasn't happened to me. So I was thinking here, do you feel you benefited from these experiences, or do you think, looking back at them, and we'll get into more of that in a moment, looking back at them, you would have rather have had a more normal life? What's your take?
Well, the thing is, you know, some people have said to me, you know, Michael, you're you should be happy, you know, you're chosen, you're special. But as I point out in many of the podcasts that I've spoken on, I am not special and I'm not chosen. I don't feel most of my experiences to date have not been good ones. Last year I was diagnosed with complex PTSD, which I suffer with as a result mostly of the trauma experienced in these type of interactions as a child and as a teenager. I'd rather had a normal life, to be honest.
This is a point here of contention I had with Preston, and that is he looks at these UFO encounters, particularly abductions, as positives. But a lot of people, and you're not the only one, there are a lot of people who suffer PTSD after having those experiences. I remember back in 2010, we had a guest on named Doug, who had been working with the late Bud Hopkins on his possible abductions, guy in the real estate business. I had a long talk with him, and he was very seriously traumatized by his encounters. So you're saying, Michael, this all began when you were real young. How young were you?
Well, you know, in my book, I talk about the area where I grew up. The location is key to the experiences I had. You know, I grew up in a strict Roman Catholic Irish family and in a Roman Catholic environment. The church actually, you know, they owned my home, my childhood home. It was in the grounds of a school, a Roman Catholic school. My dad was the caretaker, so obviously the house was inside the grounds, and he was, you know, with the job come the house. But when, I was born an unexpected child. I was born premature. I was in hospital for quite a long time. But when I come out of the hospital, when I went back to the house that would then become my home, you know, strange, as my parents were telling me later on, strange occurrences happened that never happened before. So, there was lots of poltergeist-type activity in this house. My mum was often in the house alone, and she would be hearing, you know, disembodied voices calling her name. Often when she was in the, you know, upstairs, she felt something behind her a lot of the time and was calling her name. When she turned around, there was nothing there. There was lots of cold spots associated with these type of hauntings. You know, objects would move around and vanish, then reappear. I got three brothers, which I mentioned in my book, Francis, Kevin, and Sean. Sean's 2 years older than me, and I'm the youngest, and my other two brothers, Francis and Kevin, are a lot older than me and Sean. But on one of the occasions, you know, Francis had been in bed, and we had in the house at the time, we had a huge, you know, big oak heavy wardrobe that was pushed over on top of him whilst he was in bed. And he wasn't injured, he was just shocked. And another time, Kevin was coming up the stairs. He was shoved, basically, down the stairs by some, you know, unseen force. And again, he wasn't injured. He was, you know, just really scared. And there was lots of banging in the house, unusual banging, you know, as I explain on other podcasts. In the house itself, the house was, like, very strong, made of very strong brick. And if you were to bang on the wall, you know, it would just create the sound of a thud. But during the nighttime, when my parents were in bed, they were often awakened by this loud banging on the walls downstairs.
Let's break it here, Michael. We'll get back with more discussion with Michael Cameron, with Gene, and with Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
High strangeness encounters. All sorts of things happening. When Michael Cameron was young, when he was brought home from the hospital, and one question occurred to me as I'm listening to this. Did your family have anything like this happen before you arrived into your new home?
Yes, they did. Yeah, my dad was in the Royal Air Force during World War II. He being a flight engineer, but before he married my mum and he was in Diggs in London, he did later on tell us, you know, he told me that he did experience paranormal activity, you know, seeing what he would consider to be, you know, I guess a ghost that used to wake him up at night. He used to pull out the covers, and he said it was a grey lady that used to float across, you know, the floor. And at one time he said this figure, grey figure, come floating down the stairs, and he had, he had missing time, or he didn't remember what happened after that. He just found himself basically back in bed, but he didn't remember how he got there. And I believe my mum was an abductee. She did tell me once, you know, my mum used to build, aircraft during World War II in the munitions factories. She told me once before she went into these factories, and she was evacuated at the time into an area of the countryside in Britain. She awoke one night with, you know, suddenly was awakened by something. She felt presence in the room, and she told me that she looked down the bottom of where the bed was, and this, you know, strange looking creature with big eyes and a grey type figure was there looking at her. She was quite afraid. She put the covers over her head, hoping it was, you know, just in her head, just an illusion, I think. And then she took the covers down. It was still there. But then the next thing she knew, it was daytime. And she had no memory of anything that happened. So, I think she had experiences, but I don't think she understood what they were. And also, because she was Roman Catholic, I don't think she spoke about them, because in the community where I lived in London, everyone knew everyone. So I think it was in case people would talk.
Now, one fast question here about the home in which you lived. Sure. Did these experiences start when they moved to that home or precede them?
They seemed to start when I was there. I mean, you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with me, but it seems to happen when I was basically in the house, when I was a baby and a child, you know. But not really before that.
It's kind of strange to think about that. That you come into a home, newly born child, and suddenly weird stuff happens.
Yeah, it didn't. It never, when I was writing my book, there was a lot of emotion that came up. You're reliving these type of experiences. It never used to sit well with me, you know, that this type of phenomena may have been linked to me. There was no blame, really, for my parents to do with that. But things, you know, were said that it was believed that the activity was centered around me.
Didn't your parents tell you, though, afterwards that when you were a baby that they noticed unusual things happening around you?
Yeah, that's right. I was told much later on that, you know, where the cot was at the time, my brother Sean shared a room with me, and the cot was there, and there was, you know, what would be termed, I guess, balls of light, floating around, orbs floating around where my cot was. And also at one time, there was some strange creature, they said, that was standing over my cot looking down at me. And this was seen by both my mum and dad, and also my brothers, like Francis and Kevin. And when they made eye contact with it, it simply vanished. But, you know, this is when this activity was started to happen in the house. And at first it started off quite, you know, sort of, you know, not so what would be considered dangerous, but as it went on, it started to get more, you know, what could be, you know, more dangerous for people in the house. It sort of changed.
Did they tell you what this thing looked like?
They did. They actually said it was glowing green, funny enough. Yeah, and that's the only thing they said. It was glowing. It was a green-type colour coming from it. And it was just looking down at me like you would look, you know, looking down at me in the cot. Mm. But What I would say is, though, there was something that happened with Sean, though. When he was a child, he actually went missing from a British beach, which was full up with people. He'd been there with the family. And, you know, my brothers used to tell me that he went missing suddenly off of this beach, and he was looked for like hours. The police were called. The police looked for him. They couldn't find him anywhere. And then suddenly he appeared in the same place where they looked, you know, hours before. And he, you know, he was just a child, so he didn't know what happened to him. But that was quite strange.
Well, in the book, Sean plays, you know, a pretty dominant role alongside with your experiences. I mean, he experiences, I mean, he sees things along with you, so at least you weren't alone completely in what was going on.
Yeah, that's right. I did mention Song, you know, I had to ask his permission to put people in the book, of course. But yeah, there were occasions when me and Sean did share experiences, but as I pointed out, I don't know if these continued for him in his life. I don't know that. They did for me continue, but I don't know if they did for Sean. If they did, he never spoke about it.
Did you ask? How young were you when you remember any of these experiences?
I would say from 4 years old. And Sean would have been 6 years old, but pretty much, yeah, from 4 years old is when my memory is, you know, much more developed. In the book, you know, as I explain, I have a marker memory where I'm able to, you know, remember quite a bit. But I do point out, though, that I do have fragments in my memory, you know, that I don't remember. So I don't fill in the gaps. I just say it as it is. And what I remember, and what I don't.
Were these encounters restricted to your home, or did they occur elsewhere?
Well, in book one, I talk about my, you know, primarily I talk about and focus on this location alone. In most of my experiences were at my childhood home. They were in the grounds of this school, and they were inside the school itself. But when I write book two, I will follow, you know, the book will follow on. So it will follow on from being a teenager to a young adult. But what I didn't know at the time was that this type of phenomena follows you. I didn't know that. It wasn't until the 1990s that I started to explore this.
Hey, we've got Michael and Jean and Tim more to explore. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
USA News Update. The Senate cleared a stopgap funding bill Saturday night, sending it to President Joe Biden's desk just in time to avoid a government shutdown. The legislation effectively punts the deadline for Congress's various spending fights to November 17th and provides no additional money for Ukraine aid or border security. It does include $16 billion in additional disaster assistance. Are you reselling concert or sporting event tickets? Well, you may have to pay taxes on that income.
The IRS is implementing stricter regulations for ticket resellers. According to an updated form, individuals who earned over $600 from ticket resale must now declare that income as taxable. This change comes in response to a surge of grievances regarding ticket resellers inflating prices, notably for events like Taylor Swift's recent Eras Tour. I'm John Schaefer.
Skip Kelly, USA News.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Okay, let us continue here. What about other members of your family, friends, coming to your home? Did they see this stuff going on?
To be honest, I don't remember a lot of that. My dad was a Freemason, the only friends that I was aware of in the house would be Roman Catholic priests, nuns, members of the military, and members of the police. My dad was very good friends with high-ranking Freemasons in the Metropolitan Police Force. So these were the type of people that I was, when I was starting to grow up, I'd become familiar with in the household. But as far as I know, I don't think they had any experiences. If they did, I wasn't told that. My family were very secretive as well. But I think, at one time I thought that was strange. But, I think it was, the secrecy was part of that type of generation.
I just wonder here if priests knew about this, they'd suggest something like an exorcism.
When my family had the poltergeist activity going on, it went on for quite a while before they actually reached out to the church. My dad was good friends with a lot of priests and cardinals and so forth. And he did reach out to them and they did come in and they did bless the house. And, a lot of the activity stopped.
Oh, at what point did this happen?
It went on, I would say for probably about a month or so. And then, my dad did reach out to somebody. As far as I know, this is what I was told by my family. They did reach out. They didn't reach out, first of all, because, again, it was a close-knit community, and I don't think they really knew what to do about it. But after, speaking to a good friend who was a priest, they did come in and walk through the rooms and, bless him. And the activity started to, fade away, really. This was before, when I was 4 years old.
But clearly they came back then.
They come back much later on. They come back not close to that age. They come back a little bit later on when the activity started up again, I guess, when I was around, 11 or 12, in the same house, but in different ways, to which some of it was experienced by everyone in the house, and other times it was just, as far as I know, me.
Can you tell us a little bit more about where your house was located and the grounds itself, where the school was? And I mean, it was pretty much kind of like a historical location. Been there for quite a while.
Yeah, the location of the school, it was actually there was an older school in a different area, not far away from where this one was built. This one was built basically in the 1970s. But it had quite a lot of rich history. I mean, in the area where I grew up, it was actually in where the infamous Jack the Ripper struck, and killed a lot of his victims. And it was also, if you were to walk one way, you would be in the city of London, and if you were to walk the other way, you would be like 10 minutes away, I guess, 10 to 15 minutes away, you'd be in the Tower of London. So, the house was actually built on a Roman burial site for lepers. I didn't realize that until I was researching the part of the area for my book. But it was in the area of Tower Hamlets and the borough of Tower Hamlets. And this is rich in the history of the Roman times. So, and it's also a place where during World War II, it was, when we had the Blitz, a lot of the bombs devastated this area. So there was a lot of death and destruction on the area of my house before it was built there, should I say.
Do you wonder if your family had lived elsewhere, if you would have had the same kind of experiences, or if there was something about that location? I mean, I'm not saying that only that location would have caused these experiences, but do you think that there was, like a twofer going on here, that, whatever it is, whatever the phenomenon was that was around you, was helped along due to the location?
I think, yeah, it's a good point what you make. But I think it would have happened. I mean, back then, as I said, being a child and even a teenager and growing up in an area where, there were no influences that could influence these type of activities for me. Most of the time, I was either in the church and saying prayers or doing stuff for the church, or was in the school, which was, again, lots to do and geared towards religion. But the area, I do believe the areas do have some sort of, importance in some of the experiences that we have. There seems to be some sort of link with the activity that happens with us. But I don't think, no matter where I would have been, I think I would have had this type of activity happen.
Did your schoolmates know about this?
No. No, I never used to speak about it. And as I point out in the book, I didn't realize it at the time, but I would say that me and Sean were, even back then as children, suffering from PTSD of some sort.
What were the symptoms of the PTSD for you?
I used to, pretty much similar, something similar to today. I needed to have a light on. I had experienced nightmares, waking up screaming. I had a lot of pains in my body, which I discovered is associated with this. And also, I used to wet the bed pretty much all the time. And I have had other problems, which was to do with, again, like with your bowels. I had to see specialists. So I was often in and out seeing, different types of doctors because of these type of experiences of being afraid. I was afraid of the dark, and even now, you know, as an adult and the age that I am now, I cannot switch the light off. I have to have a light on all the time. But mostly, the problems for me occur around the times of 3 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning. And often if I turn the light out, you know, things do happen.
The magic 3 a.m. hour. Hmm. Did you take pills during this period to try to control this?
No. No. I wouldn't take pills. I don't think that's the answer.
Did you visit mental health therapists, though?
No. The only time I went to see a therapist is to be tested for basically telekinetic abilities. As a child, I was able to move objects without touching them. So I do remember being taken somewhere to, you know, back then in the 70s, the doctors used to wear white coats. You know, I don't think they do now, but in many hospitals. But yeah, I was tested for like ESP and telekinetic abilities, that was recorded. I don't know what happened with that, where that went. I just know that it happened.
But you don't know the results?
No, I don't know. No.
Did you ever ask?
Yeah, plenty of times, yeah. I didn't get no information. My parents, as I said, they told me things every now and again, but I wouldn't have a dialogue, you know, with them. My parents were quite strict. Especially my dad. I talk about my dad in the book, my relationship with him. So it's, you know, no, I didn't get the results.
Sounds like some difficulty there, correct?
Yeah. You know, it was just, you know, he was very strict.
We have Michael, and we have Gene, and we have Tim. The story goes on. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Michael Cameron, I get the impression here your parents would prefer that nothing ever happened.
Yeah, you could say that.
So what do they think now, assuming they're still here? What do they think now? What do they think about your book?
Well, you know, my parents are both passed. Pretty much most of my family have passed. I have no uncles, no aunts, no grandparents here. They're all gone.
I kind of feel your pain. I don't have too many left either.
No, you know, it seems to change when your parents go. You know, when one goes, some sort of dynamic in the house seems to disappear, I guess, even though you sometimes, you know, you don't feel close to your parents sometimes. You do feel, despite this, you feel that there is some sort of bond that holds the family together. The parents in some way hold it together, but when they go, it seems to break it and change it.
It's kind of like a social network of parents and children and nieces, nephews, grandchildren, etc. I remember that from my youth. When my grandmother died in her late 60s, I wasn't even a teenager. But the family gatherings began to end during that period. And I guess that's unfortunate. You know, I think it'd be a lot healthier and a lot nicer for people if the family units could, for the most part, stay together in some fashion. I realize there are problems sometimes to be resolved, but one hopes they would be resolved. What was your relationship with your parents over the years as a result of all this? I got the impression of difficulty with your father. What about your mom?
Yeah, it was. I had quite a difficult relationship with my dad, but I mean, I was very young. When he died, I was 15 years old, you know, and as I explain in my book, I had a really big argument with him, and then, you know, the next morning he'd gone, he was dead. And, you know, for a long time I blamed myself for that. I thought it was my fault that he'd passed because, you know, he had a massive heart attack. It took me a long, long time to realize it wasn't my fault and even to forgive myself in some ways. But, you know, it was difficult for my dad and me because we were two different people. But with my mum was strict as well. You know, she could be as strict as dad, but she understood me in different ways to my dad. You know, she could see that I was a sensitive. I could see things. I could feel things. And I guess, you know, I felt closer to mum. But, you know, as a teenager, though, you know, when dad passed, there was obviously difficulties there. I was growing up. I was a teenager. I was trying to learn about this stuff going on with me, trying to, you know, understand my place in the world. So for a while, it became difficult with Mum. But, you know, as time went on and I started to grow and I was still having these experiences, you know, I tend to think that I, you know, we come back together again.
In the early part of your book, you write about visits from your friends. And I found that really interesting. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when I was a child, I had, you know, I guess what would be called invisible friends. And, you know, it wasn't until much later on that I realized, you know, that I come to, you know, the realization through my research and that they were called, you know, what we now know through classical ufology as the Nordics. And I don't know if Sean had interactions with these type of beings, but I most certainly did. But, you know, when you're a child, you don't really think there's anything abnormal about that. Just think, okay. And a lot of the time, I mean, in my book, I do explain, you know, there's one instance where I'm up in my bedroom and there's a male and a female, what I call my friends at the time. They're talking to me, they're interacting with me. Sometimes they would play games like follow the leader, I remember. And they used to talk to me, they didn't move their, you know, their mouths. They used to talk in the mind. But as I explain in the book again, I don't remember what they said to me. I'm more of a person that is visual. I remember things that I see rather than if you're talking to me, I might not remember that. But and I remember one time when I was up in my room, the door was closed. I could hear my mum coming up the stairs to see me, and I can remember thinking that she was standing outside the door listening to who I was talking to. And because I felt, I heard the, you know, her feet moving, shifting from one side to the other, and the floorboards creaking. And, you know, she came into the room and I was talking to my friends. And then as she came in, she was asking me, you know, who I was talking to. And I remember, you know, and I said to her, you know, my friends. And then as I looked round from my mum to where my friends were, they wasn't there no more. So I was a little bit confused where they went. And, you know, I guess my mum then thought I had invisible friends. But, you know, as I explain in the book, what I never used to tell her, what I never told her or my dad, is that these were not children. These were adults that used to come to see me. And a lot of the time I used to see these in the house. They used to appear and then vanish. Sometimes I used to go into a room. There'd be one there, or there used to be three of them. A male, female, and another male. But they did look similar to one another, with a long blonde hair, athletic type builds, you know, very, very good looking, taller than most of the adults, I would say probably all the adults around me at the time. And I don't really know why they come to me. It felt like on some occasions it did feel like they were talking to another part of me, another aspect of me that understood the information they were telling me. There were times, though, sometimes I say it's, I'm 50-50 with the Nordics, the experiences I had with them, because there was a lot of times when I was, you know, I entered into an altered state of consciousness, you know, as I explained, that the room or the immediate environment around me started to go, you know, it went quiet, so outside sounds suddenly vanished. And, you know, I attribute this to what the British researcher and investigative researcher, Jenny Randalls, coined the Oz factor. You know, she was once the director of Bufora in the United Kingdom. And but when I basically come out of this altered state, these beings were no longer in the room with me. But what I felt was I felt fear. I felt I needed to get away from the room. I needed to quickly get away from this location. And I often remember running down the stairs in a state of panic, and my heart thumping, And I wanted to get back to my mum and tell her what had happened. And I don't really know, you know, is that okay? I often try to, you know, reason in my mind. Was it because I was a child and I was, you know, just frightened? Was there more to it than that? Were these actually more sinister than, you know, than I realized at the time? Maybe there was a, you know, were they preparing me for what was to come?
Do you remember how old you were when the experience with the Nordics started?
I would say between going between 3 and 4 mm-hmm. years of age. But when they were there. But then when they went, I never see them again.
And how long did you see them? I mean, you know, did you see them up to a certain age, and then they just stopped coming around?
Yeah, I would say probably up until 4. It was 4. There wasn't no, you know, it wasn't all the time, but I did see them a lot in the house. I didn't see them outside of the house or anywhere else. And often when I was on my own, there was no one else around me.
So now a lot of people would say that, oh, well, you know, it's just imaginary friends. All kids have imaginary friends. So, I mean, did these things, now that you look back at it, I mean, do you think they were imaginary, or in your eyes, did they appear solid, you know, ghost-like? I mean, how did they look to you?
Well, they wasn't, you know, they weren't ghost-like because I interacted with them physically. As I said, we played Follow the Leader and stuff like that. But, I mean, I would have said the same as anyone else back, you know. It could be imaginary like that, but, you know, given my history and what I experienced much later on, I'd probably say, you know, that they were attributed to what was coming in the future for me.
We'll get into more details here with Michael Cameron. He has a book out. It's called High Strangeness, A Lifetime of Alien and Paranormal Encounters. This appears to be Volume 1 because we get to the point of his teenage years. With Gene, Tim, and Michael, you're in
The Pedicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.